Blog Talk Radio.
Aaron McCready.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Paul Stevens. Pennsylvania State Police confirming that 31-year-old Eric Freen has been found and taken into custody. Freen, the alleged shooter, and the ambush killing of one state trooper and the wounding of another in Pennsylvania back on the 12th of September.
A woman who had gone out for a walk near Pocono East High School last week telling police she spotted a man with a mud-covered face carrying a rifle, saying he was about 15 to 20 feet away from her. Police focusing their search in that vicinity since then.
Fox Radio's Lisa Lucera. Freen described as a survivalist with a grudge against law enforcement. The National Guard deploying troops to a rural town in Hawaii. A lava flow making a slow crawl toward a major road. More live in Fox News Radio's Jessica Rosenthal.
The troops are there at roadblocks and to conduct patrols. The lava is still headed toward homes and a main road, but Hawaii Civil Defense Director Daryl Oliveira says the main flow has really slowed down. When it came to the breakout flows of lava off of the main flow, like the one that burned a shed and some tires and approached a house,
that has also been fairly inactive, no advancement. That structure is still at least 100 feet from the flow front that stopped there.
He says it is headed toward a highway, Highway 130, which would cut off part of the town of Pahoa if it crossed, Paul.
Jessica, a nurse in Maine, defying the last 11 days of a quarantine after she worked with Ebola patients in West Africa.
Casey Hickox and her boyfriend got a little fresh air this morning, taking a bike ride while being tailed by a state trooper who's monitoring her. She tested negative for the virus after returning from West Africa, where she had treated Ebola patients.
Fox Radio's Tanya J. Powers, Maine state officials saying they'll go to court trying to force Hickox to abide by the remainder of that quarantine period. Four people dead, four others unaccounted for after a small plane lost power after takeoff today and crashed into a flight training building at an airport in Wichita, Kansas. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
This is Doug Benson from the hit podcast, Doug Loves Movies. Stay tuned for this week's Watch This, Not That movie review after a word from our sponsor.
Walmart presents Be Ready for the Office Coffer.
Every office has one. That awesome guy who's so committed that he comes to work even when he's sick. So you get to share much more than just email.
Be prepared with 19-ounce Lysol disinfectant spray for $4.97, 80-count Lysol wipes for $4.63, and two packs of 12-ounce NyQuil DayQuil severe cold and flu on rollback for $13.79.
Walmart shopper one, coughing guy zero.
Save money, live better, Walmart.
Hey everybody, Doug Benson here. Time for Watch This, Not That. In theaters now, Annabelle and the Judge. In Annabelle, a creepy doll comes to life and terrorizes an innocent family. In The Judge, the great Robert Duvall is still alive and terrorizes a bunch of lawyers. So go see The Judge and not Annabelle. This has been Watch This, Not That. Don't forget to check out my podcast, Doug Loves Movies, on iTunes.
The longest-serving mayor in the long history of Boston has died.
Mayor Tom Menino, who died this morning at age 71, was an old-school politician. He was also Boston's longest-serving mayor. In his five terms, he grew New England's largest city into a high-tech powerhouse. Earlier this month, he cut short a national book tour and stopped treatment for his cancer, which was diagnosed earlier this year.
Fox Radio's Bill Marcus in Boston. The U.S. United Nations Ambassador Samantha Power just back from a visit to West Africa telling U.N. members the Ebola virus fight is working.
Based on what I saw this week, the contributions that have been made by the United States and many of the countries represented here today have begun to save lives and offer the first tangible signs that this virus can and will be beaten.
Ambassador Power at a UN meeting in Brussels. The opening next month for the next Hunger Games installment looks to be huge.
Are you fighting, Katniss? Are you here to fight with us?
I am. The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1 could be one of the biggest openings ever for the franchise, as pre-ticket sales are estimating a $130 million opening. Brent Tracks, Paul DeGarabedian.
The first Hunger Games in 2012 was a massive hit. It opened in late March with over $150 million.
DeGarabedian says Catching Fire did even better at $158 million. For the third installment, the bulk of the marketing and advertising push will be rolled out over the next couple of weeks, so it's very likely the opening numbers could rise. Mockingjay opens nationwide November 21st. Michelle Polino, Fox News Radio.
The National Football League asking a federal judge to toss out a lawsuit filed by former players who alleged team officials gave them powerful painkillers and other drugs to keep them on the field with no regard for their health. The NFL arguing it's not responsible for the medical decisions made by 32 individual teams. I'm Paul Stevens, Fox News Radio.
You have read about him in the Huffington Post. You have seen him quoted in Esquire magazine. The Washington Post writes about him, and you saw him on MSNBC. This is Aaron McCready. Give Aaron a call at 646-200-3400. That's 646-200-3400. Also follow him on Twitter at Aaron McCready or visit him on the web at AaronMcCready.com.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. I am Aaron McCready. It is great to have you with us today. We've got a great show for you. I'm very excited about it. Here in just a few moments, Andrew Hunt will be joining the show. If you don't know about Dr. Hunt, he is the Libertarian candidate for the office of governor in our great state of Georgia, and many of you around are listening in Georgia right now, and I appreciate your support of the program. But here in just a minute, he will be on the show. And just a few weeks ago, actually earlier in October, myself, Greg Williams, and Charles Horde had the opportunity to go down and was invited to go down to cover the Perry debates. And we were the only ones broadcasting live before the debate, and it was just it was electric. It was just like college game day. It was something to behold. You had, you know, Governor Deal supporters. You had Carter supporters. You had Hunt supporters there. And it was just something to behold. And you know, Dr. Hunt was, of course, a participant because he's running for governor, and he did very, very well. And I believe, and I'm sure he'll correct me here in just a moment, that actually that was his first debate because he's not a career politician. He's not one of these that seeks to win approval by the electorate every year. And so I'm really proud to welcome him on the program. We are just less than a week away from Election Day, so that says a lot about Dr. Hunt coming on the show. Dr. Andrew Hunt, welcome to the program.
Hi, it's great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Well, you know, I got to was at the Perry debate, and we were covering the debate live, and I'll tell you what, you really held your own, and there's a few times you even corrected the moderators there on giving you equal time. So congratulations on a strong showing, and one thing that I saw, you know, every time you would speak, of course, you had your supporters there, but on a lot of the issues that you would talk about, the Deal supporters would start clapping for you, and the Carter supporters would start clapping for you. So, you know, in addition to your supporters, so that has to be a great feeling to know that all across the board people are supporting you.
It was nice. I mean, both of the other entities, of course, have large funding. They actually paid for buses to pick up people, bring them in, paid for them to get in the fair. So they had very large groups and gatherings there. And it's nice that your message, you can hear that it crosses over to both sides. Liberty is important to everyone.
Well, you know, today you received a big news, too. Former presidential candidate and former governor of New Mexico, Gary Johnson, endorsed you. That's got to be a big boost to the campaign.
It not only did he endorse me, but the words that he used in his endorsement statement were quite strong and profound. I was honored and flattered to receive his endorsement. It's nice when someone who has actually served as a governor and has did a very excellent job during his term too turns around and says that I'm highly capable and competent to hold the office and will do a great job for the people. That's just a fabulous statement to have from someone that's already been there and done it.
Well, what caused you to decide to run for governor? I mean, this isn't something that you just wake up one morning and it just hits you to run for governor of Georgia. What's the scenarios that caused you to run? And tell us a little bit about that, and then, where you think it will take you in the event that you don't win this election.
Well, I knew I was going to do public service at some time in my life, and I never served in the military, which is a very honorable way of serving your country. And so I knew that public service would be my path. And so I don't consider myself a politician. I consider myself attempting to be a good public servant. And while I'm doing this run, in fact, I'm trying to accomplish different things to do public service and change ideas and platforms of other people. But the reason I ran for governor is the simple fact that in January, I actually reached out to people in positions that had to do with transportation, education, and employment that I thought were such key issues of people that were already in office and holding positions in those areas. And I tried calling in, emailing in, and everything, and I never heard back from anyone.
Wow.
It just showed how they were already tied into their systems and really didn't want to have any outside expert meddling in their business.
Well, it seems like they forget who put them in office.
And yeah, and I was doing all this at no charge. I was willing to just come in and help. And so that's when I realized I had to run for office, and I got in closer and talked with the Libertarian Party and went to their convention, and they nominated me to be the gubernatorial candidate in early March.
Well, on your webpage, you have a pledge to the people, and you pledge to raise Georgia rankings by at least 10 states on the bottom 10 list. And, one, you have the most corrupt state with many ethical issues. Touch base on that a little bit, because, the governor himself has been he had a lot of controversy, and then even back when he was, and a lot of people don't know this, people I guess have maybe been hiding under a rock, but he was actually a Democrat in the United States Congress, and then he switched over to the Republican Party. But even while he was in Congress, he had some investigations into ethics, and then, of course, while he was governor. But talk a little bit about that as far as the most corrupt state with ethical issues.
Yeah, I forget the exact name of the website, but there's a website that looks into the ethics and it ranks Georgia 50th. And what you have to look at is that we don't have an open and transparent government. There's a lot of things done behind closed doors. There's a lot of ethic filings. But it's just the way that business has been done. Government's been run here. It's always been a closed-door environment where the people that contribute into campaigns are rewarded through different laws and incentive programs unfairly compared to other people. It's a pay-or-play system that's very ingrained into the Georgia political society, and it's basically been acceptable, even though it's very unethical and it's corrupt. The courts don't enforce on it. They let it get by. A lot of times the ruling party has appointed different judges and brought in different judges that will allow them to get away with it. So you don't have a check and balance system existing anymore.
One thing that drives me crazy with Georgia is it's very hard as a third party, to get on the ballot. And, the same people that support competition in the marketplace have no support for competition in the political world. They want the two-party system, and it's really, turning into a big one-party system, really. I mean, it's hard to tell the Republicans and Democrats. And so, I feel like they're threatened by competition and do not want anyone from the Libertarian Party, because it gives a common-sense voice to what our founders of our Constitution really were striving for. And, I really applaud you for taking the stance and actually running for governor.
Well, thank you very much. And you never know if we're able to hit 20%, if we can wake up enough people. then the Libertarian Party can have full ballot access, and then we'd have a true third party. A Gallup poll just 3 weeks ago came out and showed that over 50% of people now want a third party. Problem is, a lot of those people don't go vote because they're upset with the current two parties, and what they have
right.
to understand is it's imperative that they go, and not just they go, any of you that are listening that are considering voting or not, you just have to vote, and you have to vote Hunt for governor, because it's by voting for the governor only. That's the race that matters in determining if the Libertarian Party gets full ballot access. If I receive over 20% of the popular vote, then the Libertarian Party will be a full-fledged party and can then compete on all different levels rather than having to have the most restrictive ballot access in the United States here in the Georgia.
You know, and I want to get to some of your other, just a couple other of your 10 items on your pledge. But, you know, with, you know, striving for 20% of the vote, how much pressure are you facing from the Republicans and Democrats to maybe even drop out of the race so it doesn't go into a runoff? Because, you know, there's an argument made that some people are saying that it's just going to cost the campaigns millions of dollars and even the state millions of dollars to conduct a runoff election. And how much pressure are you facing to drop out and let either Dill or Carter win straight out?
Oh, well, I mean, there's people commenting, but pressure is what you allow it to be on you. So I don't feel any pressure about that at all. In fact, I know as a fact that me running and getting a high enough number to vote in the runoff has forced Deal and Carter to both look at my positions, and already they've started to move some in some of those positions. I think Deal moving off of, you know, being a Common Core guy and just wanting to maybe do a slight increase to charter schools to now in the last few weeks, he's talking about school choice. That's huge. Mm-hmm. That's going to improve our education a lot. And so that was part of my platform that he's adopting. So that in itself makes a runoff worthwhile. And now if we look at my cutting waste and tax reductions and talking about cost-effective government, looking at the Job Powerhouse program and other things that we can do, these are all paying back many-fold over. Even if I don't happen to get elected or go into the runoff myself, just these changes are more than making it worthwhile for the taxpayers of Georgia and the children, how the children will benefit from better education from these changes.
You know, number five on your list is expensive health care. And you know, with the Obama administration, we've seen the, in my opinion, and you may agree or disagree, but we've seen the largest reach of government into intrusion, governmental intrusion into the everyday Americans' lives with this Obamacare. What would be Governor Hunt's plan on the expense of health care and to lower those costs for the everyday Georgian?
Well, I have two different fronts to attack that on. Now, one of those is simply having it that you're not required to have insurance. Instead, you can join basically like a healthcare club where you have a direct relationship with your doctor or a medical co-op. You're cutting out the insurance companies. You're cutting out the big medical companies. And they, a few company doctors have done this in other states that have the laws that allow them to get away with it. So I would make sure we have it more of a free enterprise system where you can have these different types of methods out there. And what it is the doctors actually end up earning more, they have fewer patients, and then the patient actually is paying a lot less. So somewhere between $70 and $100 a month, and then there's no deductibles at all to see the doctors. A whole
wow.
family can be anywhere from $150 to $200 a month, which is a fraction of the cost of the insurance. You don't have any of the forms to fill in or work with. The doctor doesn't have the forms or anything to work with. The patient visits are longer and more complete. So it's a much better healthcare model, and you're just cutting out a whole bunch of overhead. The next tier of things you look at, okay, so there we're cutting out a bunch of insurance. So then you have mm-hmm. malpractice insurance. A lot of malpractice insurance varies from state to state depending on how many lawsuits there are against the doctors and how big the awards are and how easy it is for them to, you know, be paid out. Minnesota, who has superior medical care to Georgia, has about a third of the cost of malpractice insurance, which helps the doctors make more and cuts down on what's cost for the health insurance. A lot of people don't understand doctors, I mean the attorneys and their fees are not helping you reduce the cost of medical care. It's increasing it because the insurance companies charge you more to cover those costs, and it's going into the attorney's pockets. It's not helping at all. So there are some cases where there is some, you know, actual malpractice versus just a mishap. And then, you know, we need to have a logical system to take care of that effectively without huge legal fees.
You also say that we have the ninth highest income tax rate. And, you know, to me, you know, we need to drop that because, you know, the more money in people's pockets, the less taxes that we tax businesses, the more appealing businesses will find Georgia. And then everyone wins. We have businesses here. We have jobs here. More money going into the pockets, and actually that ties into number nine on your list, $1,500 loss to the middle-class family during Deal's term, and the middle class is what runs America, what drives America. And, you know, we need to make sure that these great Americans, these everyday Americans, have money in their pocket and are successful. And, you know, maybe you agree, maybe you disagree on this also, but I don't think the state of Georgia is doing enough to try to influence and help out businesses to come here, to draw businesses here for Georgians.
Well, in some ways, they're doing too much. If a company comes in, has the right lobbyists, contribute to the right campaigns, then they get just loaded with incentives. And, you know, Deal sits back there and claims that he's brought, you know, created these jobs. And he's right. He did create those jobs. And that's actually the problem. You should have it that companies create jobs and not government. Mm-hmm. And so that's the free enterprise system. And by having a system, first of all, like you said, we want to reduce income taxes, an initial reduction from 6% to 4%. And what's very important is the base at which taxes start. Right now, at just a few thousand dollars income, you have to start paying Georgia state income tax. I want to raise that up to at least $25,000. So that you're getting away from the low-income people and a huge reduction, if not elimination, to a lot of middle-class families. And the rate is reduced on top of that. So that gives what I call economic freedom. If by the time you pay rent, food, and all of your just regular expenses, car payments, whatever, if you don't have any leftover money, you have zero economic freedom. You're not right. able to do the things that you want to do. And so by taxing less, they'll have some economic freedom, and that's what we need to give. That's what spurs the economy, just like you said. You're so correct.
Would you support the fair tax?
Well, you have to look at it. The fair tax is really written for a federal program. So you can do things that are kind of modeled after the fair tax in a state, and you know that's something that would definitely be that we could move into over time. The problem is, you know, Georgia is so lopsided on income tax, to do it all at one time could be, you know, very hard. So I think maybe two or three steps in that direction, and I'm going to be taking a very bold step by cutting the income tax in one third. So if we do that, you know, two more times, you're down to the fair tax then.
Wow. You know, tell me also, you know, you briefly touched on education just a little bit, but, you know, to improve education to be a top 20 state, because right now it's so dismal, the state ranking in education, what is the Hunt administration plan to improve education in Georgia and get us to really one of the top states in America as far as our children's education?
Yeah, my long-term plan, you can't do this in 4 years, is to be one of the top programs in the world. I want us to look at Georgia as, because we're as large as some of these European countries and other places that are in the rankings. And so that's where I'd like to be. I'd like to be a top 20 in the world. But to begin with, we'll just have to go with a top 20 state. The issue is the U.S. spends more than any other country in the world on educating a child.
Well, you know, when you say that, Well, when you say that, though, you know,
in the education rankings. Yeah. Well,
you know, Washington, D.C., they receive the most money and spend the most on education in the United States, but they are the very worst in the country on education. So, you know, people think you can throw money at the problem, but that's really not it.
It absolutely is not. And Jason Carter's plan is all about just putting more money into it. He hasn't done anything. He's not going to change the system at all. He says just more teachers, more money, and we'll fix the problem. And that's just not the fact. You have to alter the system. So there are people think of European countries as being socialist. Well, guess what? A lot of those countries over there have school choice. The parents get to choose where they send their kids. They have more freedom and liberty than we have here in the United States. So that's what we need to get to, because then you're creating, even though it's a paid-for school by the government, at least there's the free enterprise system of selection to make the bad schools go out of business and the good ones be rewarded with more students. So, and then we top that off with something that's very progressive and being done in Arizona, and it's passed the legal court reviews, is something called educational savings account, where you take the federal money and the state money and you put it in an account for every child in the education system, and then that money can then go on to fund part of the public school, or it can go to homeschooling, remote learning, or it can even go into some types of private education also. So what you do is you can end up having it that people's net, that's why Europe is so effective, because some people use it to go to private schools and other things. You reduce the number of students in the public school system, which reduces the local tax burden. So wouldn't it be great to see your property taxes go down, which is where a lot of the money goes to fund all these schools, because there's fewer kids in the public schools? And you're keeping the state and federal money the same. You're just having fewer people select the public schools, because it's not a zero money to go someplace else or to do homeschooling. It can go for tutoring and other things. If you don't use it all by the time you graduate from high school, all the money you saved up in that account can apply towards college. So kids then can leave college with no debt. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
It will be wonderful. You know, I know education is near and dear to your heart. Your parents, in fact, if I'm correct, founded the first Montessori school in Georgia. And then, you know, and I, even though you went to Georgia Tech and got your doctorate, I won't hold that against you.
Well,
being a Georgia fan.
I know. It's hard. I'll only step that up one level worse. I went to Auburn undergrad, so that's really hard.
Oh, no. Well, I won't hit the disconnect button yet. So, hey, one thing, too, and I wanted to ask you a quick question is, you know, and before we let you go, and this isn't really so much on the political side, more on the personal side, but when you were at the Perry debate and you were up there in front of thousands of people in that auditorium, and you would hear them react to what, you know, your opponents would say and what you would say, do you like that better than a studio debate where you get instant reaction from the crowd, or do you like the studio debates better where it's a little bit more quieter?
Well, the issue with the Perry debate is, you know, the crowd was to the point of being raucous, where, you know, if their person said something, whether they agreed with it or not, they're going to yell and scream in favor of it. And so there was a lot of that going on. And then you couldn't hear clearly sometimes what was being said by the other people, and including the panel of people for the and the moderator sometimes couldn't hear everything clearly that's going on. So you kind of lose it just because the volume was so high and so loud. So I prefer something. I thought that the Georgia Public Television one, the Atlanta Press Club one, was a nice format where you have about 100 or so people that are, you know, instructed to keep quiet. But I did get a laugh out of them that people then muffled themselves. You could see them trying to be contained. That was when I replied to Deal's comment to my question, and I said, well, that was quite smooth and loyally of you.
Wow.
The crowd did a muffled laugh, so it was...
Well, I'm sure he appreciated that. Well, yeah. One thing, well, before I let you go, go ahead. Go right ahead.
So, but it is just the experience of running for office. If you have it in your heart that you're here to represent the people and you know, figure out what the people's needs are, and you see yourself as one of the people, and you go around and meet them. See, I didn't meet with all these special interest groups and all. I met with more than 30,000 Georgians over the last 10 months, and I think it's a blessing of an experience for me as a human to have met so many different people from such a range of different, you know, lifestyles and backgrounds and, you know, different experiences in their life and hear what's important to them and not. And just to really become part of the people was just an amazing experience that I'm so happy that I got to experience. And hopefully, you know, I become elected and then I can really, I know what is needed out there. And I won't be someone, if I'm elected, that sits underneath the gold dome. I'll be still going around the state because it is so wonderful to talk and meet with the people and then inspire them. You know, you can do that so
right.
well when you're in a leadership position.
Well, you know, one thing that I hope, and if you win, fantastic. And if not, one thing that I hope is that you stay in the public life, because I think with the Libertarian Party, you know, the average everyday Georgian walking down the street, you know, it seems like it changes from year to year and there's no name recognition, so they can't become attached to someone. So I hope that you really stay focused, stay in the political life to represent the everyday Georgian. And also, I'm going to do something that I've never done before. And I was a Nathan Deal supporter, but I never endorsed him. But I would like to go on the record right now and endorse Dr. Andrew Hunt for governor of the great state of Georgia. I think you would be the right person at the right time, represent everyday Georgians, and bring common sense alternatives and really what we need to move us forward. So good luck on Tuesday, and you are welcome back on the program anytime.
Aaron, that is just a great honor. I really appreciate it so much, you extending that out to me and having me on the show and letting the people know. And that's one of the keys about this is, you know, I don't have all the advertising. I do have some ads that will be coming out over the next 4 days in very limited markets where I could afford it. But I'm not sold out. But what the people have to understand is that if they want someone that's going to represent them, they have to put out just a little bit of effort. It's as simple as just telling the people around them that they need to vote Hunt for governor. It's kind of an interesting math thing. If you have – you know, most people have a few hundred Facebook friends. If they can get, if we have 200 people that reach out to 100 people and get them to reach out to 100 people, we have reached 2 million people that quickly.
Wow. And then that's very doable,
people,
too.
Yeah. Reach out to 100 people, inspire them to reach out to 100 more people. 2 million people have been reached.
Wow.
Well,
Dr. Hunt.
2 days. 2 days,
wait, you're
2
right.
million people.
Well, tell the listeners how they can get in touch with you, learn more about you, and stay connected with you.
Okay, it's real simple. It's andrewhunt.us is the website, and the website has links to the Facebook and the YouTube and the Twitter account. So I just go to andrewhunt.us. But if you do Facebook and do Andrew Hunt, governor, it should pop up in the search real fast.
Well, you've been a great person, great guy to come on the show at such late notice and then also so close to the election. And I'm sure your schedule is just booked, but I really appreciate you taking the time to come on our program, and best of luck. And I'll tell all our listeners right there now, when you go to the polls on Tuesday, make sure you check that ballot box for Dr. Andrew Hunt for governor of Georgia. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much, and you have a wonderful evening.
You too. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Dr. Andrew Hunt, candidate for governor of Georgia. We'll be right back after the news.
Aaron McCready.
Fox News Radio, I'm Paul Stevens. A manhunt now over. Eric Freen in custody in connection with the shooting of two state troopers in Pennsylvania.
After 7 weeks on the loose, a law enforcement source says the 31-year-old, described by police as a law enforcement-hating survivalist, surrendered without incident. found in an airport hangar in the general area where the search has been ongoing since one trooper was killed, another seriously wounded, in an ambush on a state police barrack.
Fox Radio's Lisa Brady framed previously expressing anti-law enforcement views online and to some people who knew him. Many schools were closed in rural northeastern Pennsylvania and hunting restricted during that manhunt. No comment from lawyers for Maine health officials and for defiant Ebola nurse Casey Hickox about today's talks over a quarantine the state wants to impose on her. Hickox testing negative last weekend in New Jersey, where she was forced to stay in a hospital tent for 3 days. Hickox went for a bicycle ride today, but told reporters,
"Thank you guys. I have to go speak with the health department now."
Maine Governor Paul LePage warning he'll go to court if he has to enforce that quarantine. Some former protesters, rather prisoners, once held at the U.S. facility at Guantanamo Bay, now suspected of joining ISIS fighters in Iraq and Syria.
The Pentagon has cleared 80 current detainees for transfer out of Guantanamo Bay. President Bush authorized the release of 530 detainees, but defense sources say that the recent releases have included more hardcore fighters.
Fox's Jennifer Griffin in Washington. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel refusing today to put a number on exactly how many former Gitmo detainees may be involved. ISIS fighters, meantime, continuing to battle Kurdish forces for control of the Turkey-Syria border town of Kobani. Wall Street today, the Dow rising more than 200 points, thanks in large part to a big gain in Visa. That's the Dow's highest-priced stock. The S&P gaining 12 points, the NASDAQ rising 16. And you are listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
This is Doug Benson from the hit podcast, Doug Loves Movies. Stay tuned for this week's Watch This, Not That movie review after a word from our sponsor.
Walmart presents Be Ready for the Office Coffer.
Every office has one. That awesome guy who's so committed that he comes to work even when he's sick. So you get to share much more than just email.
Be prepared with 19-ounce Lysol disinfectant spray for $4.97, 80-count Lysol wipes for $4.63, and 2-packs of 12-ounce NyQuil DayQuil severe cold and flu on rollback for $13.79.
Walmart shopper one, coughing guy zero.
Save money, live better, Walmart.
Hey everybody, Doug Benson here. Time for Watch This, Not That. In theaters now, Annabelle and the Judge. In Annabelle, a creepy doll comes to life and terrorizes an innocent family. In The Judge, the great Robert Duvall is still alive and terrorizes a bunch of lawyers. So go see The Judge and not Annabelle. This has been Watch This, Not That. Don't forget to check out my podcast, Doug Loves Movies, on iTunes.
President Obama on the campaign trail this week, but only in certain states.
Less than a week before the midterm elections, President Obama is heading to the Democrat stronghold of New England, campaigning for a Democrat candidate in a tight governor's race in Maine and speaking on the economy in Rhode Island. Not on the president's schedule, stops in any of the contested states that will decide control of the Senate and Congress, states the president lost in his reelection campaign and where many of the Democratic candidates are distancing themselves from some of the administration's policies. The White House contends the president is focusing this week on electing Democrat governors. Rich Edson, Fox News Radio.
Residents of Ukraine apparently saved from shivering through a long, harsh winter without Russian natural gas exports. Despite its differences with Russia, Kiev signing a deal with Moscow to keep those gas exports flowing for the time being. That agreement coming after a lengthy and bitter dispute over some payments. A General Motors employee, now a breakout star after last night's Game 7 of the World Series.
In his defense, he's a disappointed lifelong Royals fan, not used to speaking on television. So when Rick Wilde, a GM Kansas City area zone manager, was chosen to present the keys of a brand new Chevy Colorado to World Series MVP Giants pitcher Madison Bumgarner, he got nervous.
Thanks, Madison. Congratulations. As the official sponsor,
visibly sweating, Wilde forgot what he was going to say about the pickup truck.
It combines class winning and leading, technology and stuff.
Wilde thought his stumbling would get him a lecture from the GM folks. Turns out he's become a social media star, and the company's using his technology and stuff line in its advertising. Jane Metzler, Fox News Radio.
He was kidded by many about his mumbling, but many Bostonians said that former Mayor Tom Menino generally cared about their concerns. The 71-year-old Menino died today in the company of family and friends after a long battle with cancer. I'm Paul Stevens, Fox News Radio.
You have read about him in the Huffington Post. You have seen him quoted in Esquire magazine. The Washington Post writes about him, and you saw him on MSNBC. This is Aaron McCready. Give Aaron a call at 646-200-3400. That's 646-200-3400. Also, follow him on Twitter at Aaron McCready or visit him on the web at AaronMcCready.com.
Welcome back to the big show, everyone. You're listening to Aaron McCready. It's great to have you with us. If you're just joining us, you missed a great first half of the program. We had Dr. Andrew Hunt on. He is Libertarian candidate for governor of Georgia, and as you just heard, I publicly endorsed him for governor. I believe he's the right man at the right time with the right solutions. And enough is enough from some of these career politicians. We've got a governor, Nathan Deal, a Republican that was a Democrat in the United States Congress in 1995 when he saw the tide changing, switch over to the Republican Party, and has been a Republican ever since. But he's also been plagued with a lot of ethical issues. Even while he was in Congress, he had some ethical concerns and some investigations, and then that carried right over to when he was governor. So when you go out and vote this coming Tuesday, make sure you click that ballot for Dr. Andrew Hunt, governor of the state of Georgia. But joining me now on the Newsmaker line also is a friend of the show. He is creating a national movement not to elect career politicians. From the great state of Georgia, Joe McCutcheon. Joe, welcome to the program.
Aaron, you're a great American, and I'm tickled to death that you endorse. I think that's huge breaking news, and I'm going to put it on Facebook as soon as I hang up from you, that you have endorsed Andrew Hunt. I think that's a great decision. Andrew has his he's extremely intelligent. He's a small business conservative. I think you'll be a great governor for the taxpayers, and I think it took a lot of courage for you to endorse him, and I really appreciate it. And I think you could start something that we've got 5 days to go. This could really be big. But the one thing I wanted to say, Ted Cruz is sort of a hero of mine. I'm a Reagan Thatcher conservative, and Cruz was on national television today saying the big problem was career politicians from both parties. So I started the McCutcheon Project, which is a project to Paul Revere, wake up the taxpayers and voters not to vote for career politicians. My seventh grandson was just born, and he owed $18 trillion. He never voted. So these career politicians in both parties have run up an $18 trillion debt for you and our children and grandchildren to pay. And so I'm starting a national movement. I've got David Pennington, who I consider a top economic guru in Georgia. In fact, I'm going to talk to him about being on your show. David's a brilliant man, and he's going to help me with the project. And another great leader, George Wynn, is also going to help me. But anyway, we're real excited about it, Andrew, and I appreciate here's my theory on this. I'm not saying never to vote for a career politician. Only vote for a career politician if you're positive that they're putting the taxpayers first. And I'd say about 99.9% of them are not. Or if the alternative is much worse. In other words, if you have a career politician, somebody running against him is, you know, much worse, then that's okay too. So I'll not say never to vote for a career politician, but my theory is I'll probably be voting for very few, like I'm supporting Andrew, like you, and Cruz has only been, and here's something interesting, Cruz has only been in Washington 4 years, and look how powerful he's become. Rand Paul's been in Washington about 4 years. So these
and
people,
they've got people just shaking in their boots. They've got people shaking in their boots because they have no idea what to do. The Republican establishment, the Democratic establishment. I mean, look at talk about the Republican establishment and talking about career politicians. Look at John McCain. I mean, he has repeatedly attacked Cruz and Paul, and tried to really bring them down. And it's really a shame that, you know, people can't embrace ideas and new blood coming in. That's what makes America great. You know, you have an idea, somebody else has a better idea. Let's all listen to each other, figure this out together rather than bash people and really everyday citizens that really want to help change the direction of the country.
Well, that's true. And, you know, just like Nathan Deal, he's a nice person. I don't have anything personally against him, but he's been in office 21 years. I just think we need... Same with Johnny Isaacson. I think a lot of Johnny, but Johnny's career, he's been there forever. We need new people that'll put the taxpayers first, and so that's why I'm so excited about the project, Aaron, and I'd love to have you as a supporter. Can I say that you're a supporter of the project?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, anything I can
good.
Do.
Good,
okay. Because,
well,
you know,
see, you've taken two big steps tonight. You've endorsed Andrew Hunt, and you've endorsed the McCutcheon Project. So, and I'm going to help. You know, my theory is help those that help you. So I've been the number one caller to talk shows in the country for the last 15 years. So I'm going to put the word out that which you are. You're a very knowledgeable, I think you're a credible talk show host. So I think we want to get your, I don't know how many listeners you have now, but we need to make you one of the tops in America, because you see the big picture. You have the vision to understand what we need. And so really, you're the first, I'm going to get on C-SPAN probably next week and tell the whole nation about this, and probably add it in a bunch of them. But you were really the first one that I've talked to about the program, and I lined up a lot of strong supporters, and I'm just real excited about it. And
I'm excited about it too. And you know, one thing, you're going to have to cut down on the comments and compliments for me, because I'm getting such a big head, I won't be able to walk out of the studio.
well, no, you're really good. I've been on, I've been the number one caller. I've been on Hannity, Limbaugh. I've been on them all for the last 25 years, and I can tell talent, and you're really good. I think you can go to the top, and I'm going to recommend that everybody get to know you, and because I think you can be a big part of. We've got to wake people up. A lot of people just don't realize, career politicians, they say, yeah, we're for cutting spending and cutting taxes. Then you check their record, which most people don't do, and you find they're spending more money. You know, they talk conservative and vote liberal. And I check their voting record.
What does that say about the American people? You know, it's sad when the American people will just look at a TV ad or just look at a flyer that comes in their mail or look at how many yard signs there are. Like, oh, that looks like a good name, or they look like a upstanding human being, and then that's who they go and vote for. And this is part of the problem. We're our own enemy, really, such, because we're not doing our due diligence and finding out, okay, does this person really have the values and believe what I believe? And you know, that's what makes America so great too, is the founding fathers intended for, you know, me and you and whoever else, the average everyday person, to run for office and keep this country functioning as a true representative of the people. And my goodness, they would just be rolling over in their grave if they saw all these people in office for as many years as they are.
Well, you're exactly right. And I think what we're doing, you know, Paul Revere and the taxpayers, these people are good people. They're working so hard. You know, I'll tell people, I said, you know, so-and-so, did you not know he was a big spender? Oh, I didn't know that, Joe. Joe, I don't have time. I get home from work and I'm tired. It's not that they don't care. I think so many people are uninformed because they just listen to a few sound bites on the news where the politician says, I'm conservative. You've got to check their voting record. And that's where I'm reading a great book by John Maxwell about leadership. You're a great leader, and what leaders do, they're influence. So what we're going to do, leadership is influence. What we want to do is we're going to increase Aaron McCready's influence. In other words, the more people you have. And so what we have to do, and you can help me and people like David Pennington and George Wynn, we can wake up the taxpayers and explain to them, like, you know, say, hey, you're voting. And I love Johnny Isaacson. I hate to use him as an example, but Johnny's a person who I think has been there so long that he's voting for a lot of stuff I don't like, but he's a fine person. But I think we need somebody new, and so we have to explain to people that these people are good people, but we need some new blood. I mean, you know, and that's you're a Georgia fan, and Georgia's got a great football program, and Mark Rick has come into Georgia, and he's developed a program that is right at the top in the nation, you know, with the players he's recruited, and he's a fine man. And even though I'm a Georgia Tech man, I strongly think a lot of Mark Rick, but he came in as a new guy from Florida State, and he's done a really great job. You need to have new people come in, just like you, Aaron. You're Limbaugh. Everybody knows who Limbaugh is. Well, I want to help make people know who Aaron McCready is, because you're the new – what old are you, Aaron, if you don't mind me asking?
I am 36 years old.
Well, see, that's great. You're young. You got energy. You got vision. You're an incredible leader. What we have to do with you is get the word out, and that's something I'm going to do, and I'll get David Pennington, some of my friends, to help do that, to get the word out that Aaron McCready is a great talk show host. You need to listen to him, and we want to increase your influence, and that's what leadership's all about. You know, Reagan and Thatcher are my hero and heroine. Reagan was a great communicator. He had a lot of influence, but he built that up over a period of time, just like Margaret Thatcher, and that's what That's what we want to do for you. My goal is to make Aaron McCready one of the top talk show hosts in America. And you like that idea, don't you?
Well, like I said, I'm not going to be able to get out of the studio for a couple of days. I'm going to wait till my head deflates or something and wait till the next show on Monday, I guess.
Well,
but, hey, you know, one thing, you know, you talk about the new blood in Washington. And, you know, sometimes when people go into the – I'm going to equate it with something else here with the illness. But, you know, it's the same type of thing. When people go into the hospital, sometimes they have to have a blood transfusion to have new blood, to bring new life.
Right.
And, you know, that's what Washington, D.C. needs right now. It's so stagnant and such a inhospitable atmosphere. And, you know, politicians right now that get elected and they go to Washington, D.C., they don't come back a better person. They really come back more, you know, more cold-hearted, they just become part of the system. And we need an influx of new blood to wash the toxicity out, just like we would in a hospital. And we need just an influx of new ideas to come in to really turn this country around. If not, I'm afraid that, and I don't think the country, you know, has seen its brightest days yet, but my goodness, right now it looks like we're just going down a wrong road, and we need to do something drastic and bring people like, you know, people like Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, elect people like, you know, David Pennington and Andrew Hunt to really restore America to how it used to be.
Well, you're gonna be part of that. But, you know, you're gonna be part of the transformation of America, and you're helping me and David and people like that with this project, because you're exactly right. When you go to Washington, like Boehner and McConnell need to be replaced. They've been there too long. They don't have fresh ideas. They try to get the people up there that we send up there to go with their more spending. They talk conservative, they sit down with Reid, and then they vote to expand government. I mean, the Republicans, you know, when Bush got the White House, we had a Republican Senate and Republican House, they were terrible. They spent money, the bridge to Alaska to nowhere, for $300 million. I mean, those are the kind of things that are just outrageous, and it was done by Republicans. And I've been a Republican, and I finally changed myself. I now call myself a Reagan Thatcher conservative. And somebody asked me, you know, who, Joe, are you a loyal Republican or Democrat? I said, no, I'm loyal to the taxpayers. The taxpayers, Aaron, pay the salaries of all these politicians. And you're exactly right. I'll tell you something right now, Aaron. I don't know you very well, but I'll tell you right now, Aaron, you would vote better than 99% of the people we have in Washington right now, probably 99.9. You're not going up there right now, but you may in the future. But I've talked to you long enough to know you're not going to vote for a bridge to Alaska, right?
Well, no, and you know, you got to look out for people look after you, and you know, it's like the American people. They send you up there; they're your employer. You report back to them, and it's just like a board of a big organization or a big company. You report back to the board, and the electorate of this country is the board of our country, and we're sending all these executives, president, vice president, these representatives up here in office, and they're just going up there with a blank check running our business, and meaning country, into the ground, and they have no accountability. And you know, it's going to take people that have a backbone, that can go up there, stand up to the establishment, like we're seeing with Cruz, and look at the reaction he's getting, you know, all around the country. And, you know, stand up for what's right, not what's popular, but what's right. And what's right will make you popular, because the American people will see what you're doing for them, that you're really sticking up for their values, and you're just not an average everyday politician.
Well, you've got the vision, and you, my friend, are going to be a part of the transformation. Aaron McCready is going to be a part of the transformation of America, because you have the vision, you have the leadership ability, and so I'm just real excited about you and what you, your capability and your vision and your leadership, and we are going to change the country, and listen, government should be the servant of the people, not the master. Any government that can give you anything you want can take away everything you have. So we need to wake up. When Tom Graves or Doug Collins goes to Washington, they're working for me. I'm not working for them. They got to please Joe McCutcheon. In the future, I'm not voting for anybody unless they sell me that they're going to go up there and cut spending. In fact, they call me in Washington. When I call, they don't say Joe McCutcheon. They say, cut spending, McCutcheon's on the line. And that's what I want them to think of me every time they see Joe McCutcheon. Cut spending.
Well, tell us more about the McCutcheon project for listeners that are just
tuning
in. And
you're going to be cut spending McCready.
Well, hey, you know, hey, we'll be a team, man.
I'm going to start calling you cut spending. One of the best talk shows in the country is a guy named Cut Spending McCready.
It almost sounds like a NASCAR driver, the way you're talking.
Well, you know, really, you make it happen. Leaders make it happen. And what you and I and David Pennington and George Wynn and some of the great leaders, we're going to make it happen for the taxpayers, because the taxpayers are the one who pays the salary of Johnny Isaacson, Tom Graves, Nathan Deal, and we got to get them to realize that they're supposed to be our servant. We don't work for them. They're supposed to be working for us, right?
Oh, absolutely, and they get the big head, and I was joking around about that earlier, but, you know, they really do, and they forget who put them in office, and it's a shame. It really is a shame. And it's like, you know, Andrew Hunt, when he was talking earlier, one of the big reasons he decided to run for governor is he was trying to call and help these people and give them advice, and they would not even take his calls. And to not take a citizen's calls and you know, and someone who helped put you in office is just beyond me. I mean, it's just the gall of some people and the arrogance that they have not to take a call from their employer.
Well, see, Aaron, we can change that. I mean, you're in a position when you got to think, I don't know how many people you talk to, but we're going to increase it dramatically. That's influence. You have influence. I mean, you have incredible, just like tonight, your voice is being heard to a lot of people. Well, those people are going to start talking. They're going to talk about Aaron McCrady. They're going to talk about Joe McCutcheon and the McCutcheon Platchy. And we're going to get people so excited. I mean, my goal with you is to get you so excited you're having a hard time sleeping at night because you just want to get out and sell this thing we're doing about waking up the taxpayers. Paul Revere, I'm trying to be the Paul Revere of this generation. I'm going to wake up the taxpayers. Before you vote for somebody, check their voting record. Don't believe anything they say. They're all going to say they want to cut spending. See if they're actually doing it. When you check their record, you find out they really aren't doing it, right? And that's what
what
we'll do in leadership. We'll just say, you know, so-and-so, you said you were conservative. I just checked your record. You voted for the bridge to Alaska to nowhere. That's not conservative. How can you look yourself in the mirror and shave in the morning when you voted for the bridge to Alaska to nowhere? And that's what a lot of our Republicans did, and you know that. I guess you know that.
Oh, of course. And, you know, it's just a big black eye on the Republican Party for saying, oh, less taxes, less government. But then you really – it's sometimes it's hard to tell the two apart, the Republicans and Democrat, because, you know, the Republican Party, along with the Democratic Party, in the past few years has really increased the size of government. And it's really to for them just to stay in power and get more votes and make people more reliant on government that they're going to vote the same
people
in that keep giving them the freebies. And it's really a shame.
Well, see, Cruz was on the CNBC. I'm a stock market guy, and I watch it all the time. Cruz came on, and Cruz, I think, is the smartest man in Washington. They asked Cruz, what's the problem? He said, the problem is very simple, and boy, he nailed it. He said, the problem is with career politicians, both Democrats and Republicans. Both these parties get together, and they raise spending, and they say the dumb taxpayers are too stupid to know what's going on, and I won't call them stupid. They're just misinformed. They're too busy working. So it's up to people like Joe McCutcheon and Aaron McCrady and David Pennington and George Wynn and other fine leaders to wait. We got to wake them up, Aaron. That's what, you know, you're going to be the talk show host that's going to be remembered for a long time. You'll go down in the history books because you're going to be one of the leaders to wake up the taxpayers and Paul Revere. And I'm going to tell everybody to listen to you. And we're going to build your audience. And where when you say something, this book of Maxwell is really good. It's a bestseller, John Maxwell. It's Leaders Ask Great Questions. And it's just a very inspiring book. And leadership's influence. And you have influence now, but you're just getting started. You're going to get – how long have you had your show, by the way?
It's actually been on the air for about 2.5 years. So it's poking along okay.
Well, see, we want to ramp it up big time. And that's what I'm going to do. do with my friends and tell everybody my simple goal with Aaron McCrady is I see you're a person that's a great leader. And I want to increase your influence. And how do I do that? I tell everybody I know I do a Reagan. Reagan's a great communicator. I'm going to communicate to everybody I know in Georgia, hey, listen, this Aaron McCrady, he's a guy we need. You need to listen to him. You get to know him. Listen to his talk show. Go to meet him if you can. And that's one of my goals in the years ahead. That you really have incredible leadership ability, and you see what's going on. I mean, you're not a novice. You understand the problem facing America, and it's career politicians. And you've taken a big step tonight by endorsing Andrew Hunt. I'm real proud of you for that. That's a super move on your part, and And anyway, I just appreciate what you're doing. I don't want to take any more of your time, but come up and have lunch with me.
Let me tell you something.
We'll really promote you big time with everybody I know in the next
Joe.
Year. And I'm going to put on Facebook about Andrew Hunt and the fact that you've endorsed the McCutcheon Project. And we're going
to
have a lot of fun
together.
What
we need to
we're going
to
change
the McCutcheon
America
Project
for the good. And I feel great about the future because of young people like you, Aaron. I mean that sincerely.
Well, hey, you know what we need to do with the McCutcheon Project? We should create
what
a
that?
Rally, and I would come bring the show on the road, have a live
right.
show, and get a bunch of people there, get some excitement, maybe around a town hall, whatever, have the other leaders.
Well, we'll do that. We have Oscar Poon's barbecue up here, which is pretty famous. Oscar's a good friend of mine, and we're going to have it at his barbecue, and we'll get a big crowd there, and we'll do this a lot. Also, too, one other thing, I'm bringing in a lot of young people there, like Will Kramer, head of the College Republicans, Harrison Lance, whose grandfather was Burt Lance, a big Democrat. Harrison's one of the officers in the Young Republicans. There's just a lot of Megan Myers, who's president of the Young Republicans of Georgia. I've got a lot of young people, and we're going to bring them all on this movement, and we're going to tell them all about Aaron McCready, and we're going to have a lot of fun changing this country for the good. And I really am excited about it, and guarantee you, Aaron, we're going to have a lot. We're going to have you and I going to have a lot of fun down the road trying to save America from career politicians, right?
That's right. And it only takes a few people because people remember Patrick Henry. Give me liberty,
give me death. Liberty
people,
or give me death.
People remember Paul Revere. It only takes a few people to make a movement. But Joe McCutcheon, thank you for coming on. Everybody, look up the McCutcheon Project.
Thank
coming
you, Aaron.
Soon.
Come on, have lunch with me, okay?
I will. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Aaron. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And ladies and gentlemen, that was Joe McCutcheon. As you heard, he is part of he started the McCutcheon Project, a movement that I support to end some of these career politicians because they've really tainted the pool out there for all of us and really causing this country to head downhill. But, one thing that before we end the show I'd like to say is make sure on Tuesday when you get ready to vote, do your research between now and then if you're undecided. I'm choosing to vote for Andrew Hunt for governor and David Perdue for Senate. But do your research like we said. And that's what's bringing America down. A special thanks to Andrew Hunt, Dr. Andrew Hunt, candidate for governor of the great state of Georgia. My special thanks to Joe McCutcheon for being on as well. He started the McCutcheon Project, and he's getting to go to C-SPAN next week. Limbaugh, Hannity, all those other talk shows. And I really do appreciate all his kind words that he had to say to me tonight. That was, unsolicited. I appreciate that. But it's not about me. It's about the calls. It's about the United States of America getting us back on the right track. Thanks for listening. Tune in Sunday. We'll have another show Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of next week. Thanks for tuning in. I am Aaron McCready.